What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to another live edition of the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. And now we are talking free agent centers. Corey, what's up?
Not much. I've been my third podcast of the day. Feeling good. We're rolling on to the big man position for some big men.
Yes. So third is the best, obviously. You know, you're in rhythm right now, ready to go. A lot of names to talk about before we get into that. Quick reminder, we've done the previews for point guards, small forwards, power forwards, shooting guards still to come, doing centers, obviously, today, all on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But let's start off with Nikola Vucevic, who had a career year, made the All-Star team.
Stud. Finally got some recognition, some well-deserved recognition. For Orlando, really helped carry that Orlando Magic team to their first playoff appearance, what feels like forever.
Yeah.
Finally back in there, Vucevic being an all-star, being just a dominant center, a double-double machine, offensively can beat you in a lot of different ways, can even hit the long ball now at times, good rebounder, decent defender. I'm not going to say he's a great defender or a good defender, but a decent defender, a serviceable defender. I mean, just really took his game to another level. And with the lack of dominant big men in the NBA, Vucevic has become one of the bigger names for this free agency.
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the biggest names offensively. He had some major pop last year. It was a career year for him. You know, offensively averaged over 20 a game. Yeah, they ran the offense room in the high post once in a while in Orlando. Actually, a lot of the time in Orlando, you mentioned defense. Defensively, not amazing, but he took strides last year. And then as a rebounder, he has good size. So he's actually a true big, but he has a very nice skill set that's with the modern NBA. Obviously, you don't want to get him switched out in the perimeter guards or anything like that, but he's still a good player, and he's going to get some nice money this year. What do you think are some landing spots for Vucevic?
I mean, I think Boston would be the one team that comes to mind. Obviously, with Al Horford out the door, they're going to be looking for a center. The Lakers, I had them on the board, but now after Anthony Davis, it feels like Vucevic just wouldn't make sense, or maybe it does make sense, but then that's LeBron playing small forwards, so then no, it doesn't make sense. I think there's a small, teeny-weeny chance that maybe Dallas takes a look at him. Maybe Dallas wants to combo him and Porzingis, have Porzingis play more of a stretch four or a bigger four. I think you could throw in the Clippers as a possible destination. Brooklyn doesn't need him, but they got Jared Allen. That would be
Sacramento is an interesting place. I think would offer some money to him because Willie Cauley-Stein is a free agent.
Sacramento would be interesting. I almost feel like he stays in Orlando, but yeah, that would be another interesting place where it'd be Sacramento because they have Willie Cauley-Stein on the way out, and Vucevic could be the kind of vet and then just big man down low to really help carry that that combo of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield in the guard position.
He would probably push them to a playoff team. Like, he's that good of a player. So I wouldn't be surprised with that. Boston has the latest ties. You mentioned Dallas. I actually think there's a little bit stronger interest with Dallas because there's a lot of communication between, like, Vucevic, Luka, and Porzingis at the end of the year when they played, like, Orlando. There was some talk about them wanting to get three international guys to team up over there and play that type of basketball. So, and also, I wouldn't be surprised if someone just came out of nowhere and threw him a really big deal. And then he just signs there. And the Clippers are a good, like, dark horse option, too, because they're going to have money and they're going to need to spend it if they don't land necessarily the names they want to land.
That as well. I mean, I could even see some weird scenario. Like, this is obviously, like, there's outlandish, but, like, a sign-in trade with Houston just so Houston maybe gets a more diverse type of center that can give them a little bit more offense, not just rebounding like Clint Capella, which really got exposed last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think I've heard some mention of New Orleans wanting to add him if they're trying to push for the playoffs.
Ooh.
So that would be an interesting guy. Obviously, they just drafted Jackson Hayes, but he's not ready to be a starting NBA center yet. So that could make a lot of sense. I think he's an interesting player. I don't think he's a guy you want as your first option. Maybe as your second option. Third option, I think, is really good for him. And defensively, like we said, he's not elite, but he can do enough to protect the rim and use his size.
Yeah.
Contract-wise, what do you think he's going to get? I think he'll get 20-plus.
Yeah, he's getting 20-plus. I would even say he's probably going to get 24-plus. This is going to be a near-max guy, depending on the location. But he's going to get paid in the prime of his career, going to be 29 next year, coming off an all-star appearance. Yeah, he's gonna find his way into probably a 4-year deal, making probably $100 million, if not more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he's gonna get money, and there's a good argument he's the best center of the class. You know, considering age, you know, Al Horford, I'd probably prefer on my team, but Vucevic definitely gives you more in terms of you need someone to take a hold of the offense and give you more scoring.
Yeah.
So then talking Al Horford, you know, some people might view him as a power forward. I think he can really play either position, but moving forward after this year, probably center is where he's at. And it was a somewhat of a surprise for him to opt out, but rumors are that he has, quote unquote, a 4-year deal from a mystery team for $112 million.
Yeah, I've heard that mystery team possibly even being Dallas.
But Mark Stein said that it was not Dallas.
Right. I saw that as well. I still think it might have been Dallas. But, yeah, so Al Horford.
I think it's nobody. I think it's just his agent putting out, like, a rumor, because no one's paying him 4 years, $112 million, unless the fourth year is a team option or non-guaranteed.
Right, which is a good point, too, because, I mean, Al Horford for $112 million over 4 years, when he's already 34, going to be 35, is just, like, a lot of money for Al Horford, who isn't the quickest of guys already at his age. But definitely, like you said, definitely more of a small ball five now. That's where Boston used him primarily. Yeah, they did throw out the Aaron Bain lineups at times because they wanted to get a little bit bigger. But Al Horford has definitely become a small ball five in today's era. I mean, the good things about Al Horford is everything. I mean, can pass, can shoot, can beat you in the low post, can beat you down low. Sneaky strong as a defender, can defend you on the perimeter, can defend you around the rim. Rebounding probably is like his one Achilles heel. Just not a very tall guy, just not a very good rebounder. Still gets you 7 a game, but that's probably the weakest deficiency of his game, because he plays out of position, so he often gets mashed up with guys just better rebounders. And then age is probably the one weakness as well, but overall Al Horford's a hell of a player.
He's a guy that can literally take your team from being maybe a fringe contender to a true contender, because he can provide so much. Like you said, the real weakness is rebounding and age. Defensively, he's great. One of the best help defenders in the league. Very smart offensively. Sets excellent screens. Can play make a little bit. Can score when needed and can knock down a three-point ball, which is important, especially if you're running some pick and pop and you have a really good point guard. You know, when he was knocking down threes and Kyrie was running pick and pop with him, pretty much impossible to defend. So I think Al Horford's a guy that'll end up getting overpaid, because a team can see, hey, we might not be paying him the right amount for the third and fourth year, but this 2 years where he's really good moving forward, our window just went up to win possibly a championship. And with Golden State being down, a team might be able to throw more money at him.
The pick and pop that they used to run at the top of the key with Al Horford, that he would fade back to the three-point line, was absolutely lethal. I can't tell you how many times this year Al Horford had a wide open three from the top of the arc because of that type of scenario. But yeah, like you said, a lot of guys should be looking for him.
And if you're hitting that, it's just forcing the defense to switch. Now you're getting mismatches. There's a lot of good things that comes with a versatile player, not only offensively, but defensively as well. What are some landing spots for him?
Man, again, a lot of teams for this. So you have the Lakers, I think, are one team that was rumored. I'm like on the fence between it. If he's going to get $112 million, like, it's not going to work, first off, and wouldn't it make any sense to bring him back? I guess Boston's dead, right? We're not considering Boston in any of these talks. If he wanted to go get paid and then maybe help nurture and help grow with a team, the Pelicans, wouldn't it be a weird fit, I think? Him playing a small ball five next to Zion. Maybe even a playoff contender if you add Al Horford to a degree. If money worked out, I wouldn't mind seeing him in Houston. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Portland if they can make that work. But again, they also have Yusuf Nurkic coming back, which I keep forgetting, so you don't necessarily need.
But he won't be back for a while. Like, he had the same thing as the Gordon Hayward injury. So even if he does come back, is he going to be that good this season?
Right, and probably not, because those injuries tend to just take longer to get back from your conference.
And his happened in, I believe, April, I want to say. So that's like the worst possible month for it to happen. It wasn't April, it was March.
Right, so he's likely out the entire season to begin with.
Yeah.
Dallas, as I mentioned before, I think that wouldn't be a bad fit. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Utah either, depending if they moved favors, how much contract would be, because I think he just gives you more shooting with giving you the similarities in Derek Favors' game. I think Denver, if they wanted to mix it up a little bit, and that's really it. I think the Pacers, like, I know there was the rumor the Pacers should have interest or whatever. I don't necessarily just love the fit, especially now that we got Goga Bizdale in the draft. That would be now four big men that you're trying to give minutes to, and I just don't think that works. The Kings, too, if the Kings, like you mentioned with Vucevic, they wanted to bring in a veteran to help kind of push along this young core and also try and compete for a playoff spot, Sacramento's not a bad fit either.
Sacramento could be that team that through the 4 years, $112
million. That would be very Sacramento.
That would be the most likely scenario. Dallas is kind of a little bit smart in terms of the front office. Not amazing, but I don't think they did it. But all the teams you mentioned, I think the Nets could be a team that's interested as well if they miss out on some of the other guys, because it'd be a perfect complement to what they have. A lot of teams, a lot of contenders are going to be interesting trying to move money around to probably sign him. Like you said, Dallas is probably a favorite. New Orleans, this was in the recent rumors. Sacramento is a possibility. But Al Horford strikes me as a guy that wants to win, especially being so close so many times. So the Houston idea makes sense. They have to move a lot of things around to make it happen. But, you know, Daryl Morey does get really creative when he wants a player.
Yeah, and I think for Houston, if you're looking at it, you're getting someone who can do a little bit of everything from the center position when you've kind of, not to discredit Clint Capella, because I think he's very good, but Clint Capella is just very limited. He can't give you the type of playmaking Horford can. He can't necessarily give you the offensive scoring because he's so limited to just alley-oops around the rim. So we really just diversify their offense.
And that's been the complaint rumored from Chris Paul, that they need to change the offense to be more successful. Another team, the Clippers, make a lot of sense too. You sign Kawhi, you get Horford, you have a lot of other good guys there. He's kind of that glue guy that helps you take that next level. And obviously he has a lot of experience. So Horford's a big name. And I think I thought maybe he might get a little underpaid. It seems like he'll probably get overpaid now or right on the right mark, because he does provide so much for winning basketball. It doesn't always get shown up in the stat sheet.
Definitely.
So on to another guy, which is a really interesting case, and I'm not sure what is going to happen with him or what it'll be like, but DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, coming off the Achilles injury going into this year, tore his quad, came back definitely sooner than he probably should have, but wanted to try and win in the NBA Finals with the Warriors. Had a couple good stretches, you know, game two, game five after Kevin Durant got hurt. Was very slow in the NBA Finals, which is probably the biggest takeaway. The fact he just looked slow, kind of looked like he was uncomfortable getting around the floor. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins at his best, peak, not hurt, is a top 15, top 12, maybe even a top 10 player in the NBA. Now, I don't know if he's top 25. Like, I don't know how far he's fallen because of the injuries.
Don't even know if he's top 50, to be honest.
Right, and that's just the sad truth of it. So, did someone take a risk on him? Yeah, probably, because once again, I mean, he signed for the vet minimum last year with the Warriors to try and chase the ring. Definitely could have gotten more. There was rumors that Pelicans offered him, you know, 2 years, $40 million, and he declined that because he thought he was worth more, or whatever the case may be. So there is going to be a market for him. The benefit is this is a guy offensively who I think can, if he gets healthy, can still shoot the long ball, can still beat you around the rim, can still get to the line. Defensively is where we may see the biggest drop off, even if he gets healthy. What does a 6'11" guy look like with the coming off a torn quad, ruptured Achilles? I mean, that's an issue. I mean, mobility is the most important thing for any center in the NBA. And DeMarcus Cousins took two major blows to his mobility in a 15 month calendar year, basically. So that's probably the biggest issue. But again, like, low risk, high reward is how I feel with DeMarcus Cousins right now.
Yeah, and just a quick shout out. He made 5.3, so not taxpayer MLE last year, but still is still way underpriced for anticipating what he was going to get, because teams were just kind of scared with that Achilles injury. Like you said, not necessarily the greatest athlete before the injury, now taking a major blow at that size. He's a big guy. Like, he's not a small center. So I think ideally for him, it might be better to drop some weight, especially with the recent injuries, and try to get a little bit quicker, because – like you mentioned, in the finals, he was exposed. Kyle Lowry cooked his ass. Like, that was a reason. You know, if he was better defensively, it would have helped the Warriors so much, because they probably could have played more minutes and they really needed his offense. Yeah. Because his offense around the rim was fine. He gave them a little playmaking. Still tried to do too much at times, but it's a little bit of a risk. And I think he's going to be looking for a decent contract, because he's coming off, like you mentioned, you know, the torn Achilles the previous year, then the blown quad in the postseason. He wants the money so he can feel secure. So that's where it's going to get interesting with him. Initially, you think contender, but I think a team might be able to just get him, unnecessarily a bad team or a team that's like close to the playoffs, pay him a decent amount, and it's a long-term deal.
Yeah, I'm not – for him, I don't think contender's a lock. I'm looking broad all the way around. I'm thinking to just simply places in which he feels like he can showcase his skills to then get that bigger payday either a year from now or 2 years from now.
Yeah, and then for me, I'm just like, I don't think that it would be a smart decision on his behalf to go for the 1 or 2 year deal because of the recent injuries. Like, they're major injuries. Like, there's a chance he might never get back to the level, or he could, knock on wood, he could have another bad injury and then his career is over. So if I'm him, I'm looking for a 3 or 4 year deal, and I'm trying to bring in some bank. Like, I'm trying to bring in some money. And I think a team might slightly overpay or be willing to take the risk, because he does have some brand with his name. It's not like he's a low name player. He's a big name player and can add some pop to a franchise.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of teams, just to throw them out that have come to my mind, the Charlotte Hornets, Atlanta Hawks, teams that maybe can't get any star level, top level guys, but maybe they're like, yeah, we can take the risk on Cousins, won't be too expensive. And then who knows, maybe he ends up finding himself again. And then now we're at least being a far more competitive team than we have been.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Dallas was the name that was rumored with him last year. They could still go after him this year.
That would be nice too, because then you get the defensive help from Porzingis as well.
Mm-hmm. And then there's some rumblings about maybe him going to the Lakers for cheap. He has a good relationship with Anthony Davis. Then you're playing AD at power forward, but then you're not necessarily looking to play Cousins big minutes. I think there's just a lot of different options out there for teams. If OKC were to make a ton of big moves and then move some contracts and trade Steven Adams, I could see him also landing there. He's a tough guy to gauge because his defense isn't there. And it's like, is a bad team going to sign him knowing that his window is not that long?
Yeah, that's a good point as well.
I could see Washington signing him. Like, he has a good relationship with John Wall. John Wall's probably going to be out the majority of next season, but it would be enough for them to just like sign a somewhat star name to kind of help their franchise.
Because you wouldn't care about having Dwight Howard still on the books either.
I think a Dwight Howard, you don't even know if he's going to play. Like,
right. I mean, that was one of the weirdest. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but we've heard nothing about Dwight Howard since the rumors came out back in what?
Yeah. November last year. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know, a lot of different things. So they could look to move Dwight Howard. I think, Cousins gives you a little bit more pop. They have a better idea what's going on there. Or even Portland. Portland was one of the teams rumored to offer him a deal last year. And like we said, we don't know what's going to happen with Nurkic. I have no idea. If Miami somehow opened money, that would be a team that maybe would try to do it. But I don't know. I don't know who's going to really want DeMarcus Cousins with what he looked like in the finals. It's like maybe you're taking a chance in Oakland, he can pick up to the next level.
It was a sad fall these last 15 months, seeing him get hit by those injuries.
The torn Achilles really hurts the most, because him and AD could have been a really fun combo to watch for a couple of years, and they had a chance to really push somebody in the postseason. But moving on to our next center, we got Brook Lopez, who had an excellent year.
Splash Mountain, baby. Brook Lopez was fantastic. Lakers' ultimate regret probably probably looking back on last season, the fact that they let Brook Lopez go for nothing. And he became crucial to Milwaukee's floor spacing, helped them win a couple of playoff games, especially that game one against Toronto. I mean, he had 20 plus points or whatever. Brook Lopez is very good. Obviously, people still forget he's still got a very good post game to him. Doesn't use it as much because he's being used as the floor spacer and a knockdown 3-point shooter. Took over 7 attempts last year from 3, I think. not a great defender by any means. Slow-mo blocks you still sometimes. Still a big body to get around in the paint. An okay rebounder. Rebounding has kind of always been his, I don't want to say Achilles heel. He's just a little bit slow, not overly aggressive on the boards. But there's still plenty of value in Brook Lopez. Probably going to get a nice bump up in salary this upcoming season, but you have to like what you saw last year.
Yeah, I think rebounding-wise, his issue is that he's not aggressive. Like, he's good at boxing out, but he doesn't necessarily attack the boards. And defense, like you mentioned, you get him out in the perimeter, you can definitely cook him. But inside around the rim, he still has good size and he can protect the rim at a good rate. So, and you mentioned, Brook got paid $3.3 million last year, which is like probably one of the biggest underpays in the NBA considering his skill set. He can really provide a team because there's not many stretch fives that actually have size and can protect the rim at the other end. So think Brooks is going to get some nice offer. I think Milwaukee's going to do everything they can to try to retain him because they want to keep that stretch five with Giannis because that just makes the most sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I'm going to see, I think, a slight boost in money, but I think Milwaukee tries their best to keep him. But again, we've already heard rumors about the Lakers wanting to bring him back. This is going to be a center a lot of teams come after. Like you mentioned, having centers who can shoot the ball from deep is still really rare in today's NBA. I mean, we're starting to get this movement more and more, but there still aren't a lot of guys who can rely on shooting from deep heavily, and Brook Lopez has become that guy.
And he's competent at other things.
Right.
Like a lot of these guys that can shoot threes can't do anything else but shoot threes. They're a liability. Like I said, not a good perimeter defender, still can protect the rim, an okay rebounder, can score on you offensively, and can attack the boards a little bit on the offensive end when he's motivated. So he's still like a player that can play over his regular consistent play level some nights and then just give you that major boost. Like you mentioned in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, he was huge. So I think Brooks is going to get 10 mil plus.
Yeah, I would say I was thinking somewhere between 12 and a half to like 14.
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility. Maybe it's only a 2-year deal. I think he could probably get a 3-year deal because of his skill set, and it's so rare. And it's not like we're talking about a great athlete here. He's 31, yeah, but he's going to age pretty gracefully as long as he doesn't deal with any injuries. And most of the injuries happened earlier on in his career, and he's been healthy since, knock on wood.
For sure.
So it'd be really cool. We got to see Brooke and Robin team up somewhere, but I don't know if that'll happen. Because no. Robin's also a free agent as well.
It'd be nice to see him maybe go back to Brooklyn on a small contract just to give him some floor spacing.
I wouldn't rule it out. I honestly wouldn't rule it out if they miss out on some of the big fish. You know, obviously still good ties to the franchise. Kenny's really the one who unlocked his three-point shooting. You know, all the coaches before that told Brooks stay in the paint, but Atkinson wanted him to shoot as many threes and open up the floor and change his game. I think he'd be a great, you know, I don't know if they'd start him or have him as a backup big, but he can definitely provide a lot for your team. And like we said, he opens up floor spacing to another level, having a stretch five like that. Enough about Brook, though. Another guy out there who's had a really weird career probably the last few seasons, that's been DeAndre Jordan. You know, traded to the Knicks last year and didn't want to get bought out, just kind of wanted to stay in New York and kind of just have an easy rest of the season.
Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is like, he's like a throwback center to a degree. This is a guy who rebounds and dunks.
Plays defense sometimes.
Plays defense
when he feels like it.
Rim protecting wise, decent at setting screens, I'd say. Probably a good locker room guy. I don't think I've ever heard a bad thing about DeAndre Jordan when it comes to locker room. But again, I mean, this is a guy who is your fifth starter at best. I don't think you want him to be much more than that because he's simply in there for rebounding, putbacks, and that kind of stuff, for doing the little stuff. Going to be 31. I mean, there's plenty of teams that need a guy who can just do what DeAndre Jordan provides. Now, granted, last year did settle for New York, didn't really care about winning or anything else, because there's plenty of teams like the Lakers, for example, who probably could have used Jordan just to try and make a playoff push. He wanted to stay in New York. So what does that mean going forward? Does that mean he's not really interested in being able to contender this offseason? Is he more so just wanting to go somewhere where he can actually play basketball? So I think that's the more intriguing aspect of it for him not wanting to be bought out.
I would almost say there's a 50% chance that he signs wherever Kevin Durant signs. Him and KD are really good friends, and there was a lot of talk about him staying in New York so New York could kind of use him as a ploy to get KD. So I don't know if that's any, you know, is going to be in play. But like you said, perfect backup big. You know, he's not necessarily playing at a high energy level like we've seen in the past, but maybe in the right situation he can be motivated or playing with the right people. So I'm intrigued what DeAndre can do. He could definitely be the fifth starter, or he could be a perfect backup. What are some landing spots you like for him?
I mean, I think back in the Knicks is a possibility. I would also say maybe the Charlotte Hornets, if they wanted to try and throw in a big. If Orlando loses Vucevic, maybe DeAndre Jordan heads there. I can see him also going to the Sacramento Kings. But again, him and Willie Cauley-Stein, not much of a difference between the two of them. I can see the Atlanta Hawks taking a risk on DeAndre Jordan, gives Trae Young a nice security blanket down low in the paint. You know, if maybe if some scenario where he takes a massive pay cut, the Bucks lose out on Brook Lopez and they sign DeAndre Jordan just to get some rim protection and rebounding for Milwaukee. I could see New Orleans going after him, trying to give some sort of download presence alongside Zion to give Zion some relief. And then lastly, probably the Celtics or the Lakers.
Yeah, I would also throw in Houston. Obviously has some ties with Chris Paul. They do trade Clint Capella. Could be a cheap option. Also throw in the Nets. They'll need a backup center. They do sign Kevin Durant. That obviously is a possibility there as well. So I think DeAndre is a guy that could end up in a lot of different locations because he's kind of your fringe starter, can be a bench player. Like we said, the thing with him is just consistency and like motivation. Is he motivated to play at a high level? Because not that long ago, he was a guy that was in contention for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So his contract, I think, is going to be under $10 million. I think it's going to be on the lower end of things, and he'll probably end up signing somewhere that we don't know yet. So,
yeah, I've tried to guess he'd get $8 to $10 million, somewhere between there.
And I think he would also be a guy that would take a pay cut to play where he wants to play. Like, he might just be like, hey, I want to play with this team. I'll pay for a play for $3 million, $4 million, or maybe in a scenario he may even be like a vets minimum guy. But tough to say. Willie Cauley-Stein, a guy that we mentioned somewhat similar to him, has kind of had a weird NBA career so far. There was a lot of high expectations when he came to the league of being this like all defensive type player that could guard all five positions. You know, offensively, the skill set needed to develop more. Offensively, he hasn't really came much. He's been a good rebounder, solid defender. Thoughts on Willie Cauley-Stein?
Still very young, which is the one benefit he has. Very similar to DeAndre Jordan. Well, not very young. I mean, he's going to be 26. Can provide some rim protection. Decent offensive post game. An okay rebounder. This is a guy who's a restricted free agent. I don't think Sacramento gives him a lot of money. Like, if someone offers him a big money off the boat, then I think the Sacramento Kings say, okay, this is all you now. Does a little bit of every – I mean, it's very inconsistent, right? I mean, some nights he can be one of your top four or five best guys, and another night he could be one of your, you know, maybe an eighth or ninth man off the bench. Played in 81 games last year. That's a benefit. Never really hurt. Been pretty durable throughout his career. I don't know. I don't know what the ceiling is. Like, I feel like this is as good as Willie Cauley-Stein gets. That's my issue. I think this is the best version of him already.
I think he can be better defensively. Like, I think there's more to be unlocked because of his skill set and his athleticism. 11 points, 8 rebounds last year. He didn't even average a block, which I think is pretty disappointing considering the expectations of him as a defensive player.
And him being 7 foot.
Yeah, and there's games where I don't know the Sacramento Kings off that, like the back of my head, but I would almost guarantee there's games where he had multiple blocks just because he has that type of potential. I think in the right situation, you could develop him to be a better player. I don't think his ceiling is super high. I think he's a rim runner and a rim protector, and he can turn into a better rebounder. But it's not like you're looking like Willie Cauley-Stein is going to turn into an all-star. I think he could turn into possibly an above-average center. So I wouldn't mind if a team signed him for a decent amount. I think if I'm a young team, I might look at Willie Cauley-Stein and I might be able to get him for a steal. Because like you said, it seems like Sacramento is probably, I don't want to say fed up with him, but they've had enough where they're like not going to overpay for him or anything like that.
So I looked at the game log because I was curious. So he played in 81 games and started in 81. 12 multi-block games, that's it.
I mean, that's still surprising, though, considering – well, and then he had 4 3-to-4 block games and then 1 5-plus block game. So that tells me, like, how are you not averaging over a block a game? If you're getting 5 blocks in an NBA game, yeah, sometimes it can be lucky. But if you're having a couple games where you get 3 to 4 and then other games where you're getting multi-block, you should be getting blocks more consistently.
I think maybe the issue would be is I don't like making this assumption, but, like, maybe his defensive IQ just isn't very good. And he puts himself in bad positions that take him out of the position to be able to block somebody.
And also, it doesn't help Sacramento is not full of elite defenders. Like,
yes, that as well.
You know, it's not like they're the best coach team in the league either. So maybe in a different system, a coach could kind of unlock them a little bit more. I think there's a little potential. I'm not, like I said, I don't think there's like all-star potential, but I think there's potential for him to be a better player.
Yeah.
Where would you like to see him land or some possible landing spots?
You know, I think depending on how expensive he is, I think the Celtics could make sense depending on what their team looks like going forward. If they can get him relatively cheap, a little bit younger, maybe they take a risk on him. Brad Stevens obviously is a very good defensive-minded coach. The Pelicans, again, if they wanted to put a big body alongside of Zion. And then, I mean, from there it kind of gets tricky. I guess Dallas, if they missed out on centers, maybe they take a risk for him. You could maybe see Atlanta in their youth movement giving him a shot, just adding a big body down low. Obviously, Alex Len has been very good for them to this point. And then maybe like Memphis or Orlando. Memphis might not bring back Valanciunas, depending on his pay grade, how much he's going to desire. So maybe Memphis just gets another young guy, and they're like, hey, we got a bunch of young guys. We'll see what happens. And then again, if Orlando loses out on Vucevic, they will be looking for a center.
Yeah, you named pretty much a lot of the spots. I think ideally if I would be a young team, either looking to make the playoffs or still not in their final stages, trying to develop him a little bit further. I don't think a contender really wants the inconsistency. Yeah. So it was a cheap price. And a guy you just mentioned, Jonas Valanciunas, who when he was traded to Memphis played really, really well. And he did opt out, but it is the idea that he's most likely going to re-sign with Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, Valanciunas really had a resurgence in Memphis. I kind of
like everything they hoped that would happen in Toronto happened in Memphis. Obviously, the situation was different because Memphis wasn't necessarily trying to make the playoffs or win games.
Yeah. But, I mean, Valanciunas has definitely at least caught my attention for the brief stint. I mean, he averaged, 19? Yeah, he averaged 19.9 points per game on 54% shooting and 10.7 blocks with the Memphis Grizzlies in those 19 games, started in 17 of them, which is pretty damn good, at 1.6 blocks per game. So you like to see that. They're still only going to be 27. It kind of feels like he's a lot older because of him being 7 foot and being around for so long and during Toronto's push to try and win the title before they got Kawhi. Offensively, gives you a lot in the post. Good rebounder. What you lack really is the fact they can't shoot the long ball, but better with Memphis, still shot 29%. And then defensively, a little bit of like a flat-footed defender, just not a very good perimeter guy.
Yeah, he can give you a paint presence because he has a big body. He has good size. Not a good three-point shooter, but he can hit the elbow jump shot. You know, he can hit a little bit of a jumper, has a little bit of offensive game, which possibly could be unlocked a little bit more in a team like Memphis because Toronto, we know, even when he was there, they still had Lowry and DeRozan and other guys that could score the basketball. So I'm interested to see what will kind of happen with him moving forward. If I had to bet money, I'd probably see him sticking with Memphis. Any other teams you like for him to land on?
I mean, I think Memphis makes the most sense, given the fact that like the Hornets, maybe if they wanted to try and bring in some more offensive pop alongside of Kemba Walker. But then looking across the league, I mean, does Dallas want to pair him with Porzingis? Probably not. Did the Knicks want to do that? Throw money? No. Do the Pelicans want to add him? No, they rather add somebody who plays more defense, I would guess, alongside Zion. So it feels like Memphis, and then if the Hornets wanted to try and throw money at him.
And I would think he's expected a decent contract because he opted out, I believe, of like around $16 million or something around that number. Yeah. So Atlanta would be a team maybe I'd consider. Like, I think that he's a solid center, but he's maybe a little bit older than what they're looking for their future center. So I think it's most likely he stays in Memphis. Now, going on a couple other guys, these are mostly backup centers. Ed Davis, another guy who is a super steal for his price tag, only made $4 million last year, $4.4 mil. Now, moving forward, he's a guy that I think some teams might look at as your fifth starter or just a really good backup center.
Yeah, I mean, you should probably talk about Ed Davis first because you watched him the most being on the Brooklyn Nets last year. I watched some glimpses, but give me some of your thoughts on Ed Davis.
I think Ed Davis is a player that when he comes to your team, you automatically love him. He's just a hustle, energy guy, an elite rebounder, one of the best rebounders in the entire NBA. You know, he's around that top five rebound percentage, offensive, defensive, whatever it may be. Great for the putbacks. Gives you that nice energy because he's the type of guy where he comes off the bench, your offense is kind of struggling, you're missing shots. He'll go in there, get a couple putbacks, a couple power dunks. You'll get excited. Smart defender, not an elite defender in terms of like, all right, he's going to lock players down, but he understands how to play defense, will use his fouls, good physicality, somebody who can give you a little bit of a presence in the paint. Offensively, not really much more than just a putback guy, a dunk guy, or a lay-in guy. You know, doesn't have much of a skill set there. Like I said, defensively, he's not going to lock people down, but he is a smart defender. Defensive rating was one of the best on the Nets last year, but his main skill is rebounding, and I think that's exactly what you're looking in for your backup center. An excellent screen setter, one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what Ed Davis is. He's a fantastic rebounder. Guy does a lot of the little things, gritty, Like you said, can set those screens, can put putbacks and dunks. Not a crazy versatile offensive game, really limited to around the rim. But anyone who's looking for high energy off the bench, Ed Davis is the perfect guy. And like you said, culture-wise and team-wise, Portland was devastated to lose him. And it looks like in Brooklyn, the guys really love playing alongside of him as well. So it's a guy who you like playing with.
Excellent teammate. Probably just a perfect guy for a young team to help you set the culture. And I think he helped a lot of the guys last year. He just has a nice attitude. And I think he'll tell it as it is and kind of help the guys kind of take that next step. He's an interesting guy because I'm not really sure where he's going to land. There was a report that came out. He said he's most concerned about money. Like, he wants to make money on this contract.
That's fair. He's been playing for low money for a lot of years.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who's going to go after him, but I'm pretty confident that the Nets aren't going to be able to re-sign him unless they miss out on all the free agents because their cap will be sent elsewhere. What are some spots you like for Ed Davis?
I mean, Ed Davis has plenty of spots coming off the bench, I think. I mean, I think the Kings could use him if they wanted to give him even a bigger role, just for the fact that they don't need anything crazy at the center position. If Orlando lost on Vucevic, I think he fits there. I would even say if the Utah Jazz moved favors, then I don't think Ed Davis would necessarily be a bad guy to go after to play your backup five, in a sense, if anything happened to Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and Gobert has an injury history, so you kind of need a competent backup that can start when needed.
Exactly. You know, the Atlanta Hawks could be interesting if they wanted to get some center who can just kind of do the dirty stuff. Mavericks as well, I think, make a little bit of sense. I could even see the craziness of a Portland reunion if they were able to free up Cap to bring him back. I'm sure he still has good relationships with all of those guys and Lillard and all of them. If Houston moved off Clint Capella and they were looking for someone to fill the role of Capella at center, Ed Davis may not run the floor as quickly as Clint Capella, or probably move just as quickly as Clint Capella, to be honest with you. I think Houston could be a landing spot for him as well. Even OKC, if they lost Steven Adams, Ed Davis kind of fills that role of just being a rebounder. There's plenty of contending teams that could use him. I think the Lakers would be another place, the Celtics maybe even. And actually, I wouldn't mind the fit of Ed Davis necessarily alongside Zion. It'll size-wise, a little bit of an issue, but there's a lot of tenacity in those two.
Yeah, I think Ed Davis will probably get somewhere between the taxpayer MLE or the non-taxpayer MLE, so somewhere between $5 and $8 million. And there's going to be a lot of teams looking for him because, like I said, he's one of the best backup centers in the league. And he just kind of does everything you want, and you just don't have to worry about him because he knows his role. He's going to play that role to the best of his ability. And he'll play hurt, too. That's one thing you appreciate about him. Like, he missed the time in the postseason, but I know he wanted to play. It was more so the medical team kind of giving him the nod not to play.
Yeah.
So Ed's an interesting guy. Expect a lot of teams. He'll be one of the later free agents talked about. Enes Kanter, who really bounced back in Portland. You know, he was bought out by the Knicks, who just didn't want to play him. They wanted to play the young guys. Went to Portland, also played really, really hurt in the playoffs. He helped his value, but still, I think he's a backup big.
Definitely a backup big. The defense, even though he had a little bit of some better moments in the playoffs with Portland, the guy still doesn't know what he's doing on defense, which is surprising because of how big he is as a body, but he's just not a good defender. Very good rebounder still, can do some things around the rim. Definitely a backup. You can't have someone who can't defend starting in the NBA like Kanter, at least.
His pick and roll defense is really, really bad. It's just as bad as it can really get. His foot speed is bad, but offensively, he can give you some major pop off the bench. He easily can kind of score 10 to 15. He's going to score on most guys in the post. Really, really good rebounder. Like you said, it's just the defense. Everything else isn't that bad. Even passing, he's okay. He does have some really bad moments as a passer, but I think he slightly improved last year as well. So Kanter's a guy that I think someone will sign as a backup big and feel decent about it.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys. We got Thomas Bryan, who played a really good year with Washington, kind of unexpected. Robin Lopez, you kind of know what you're getting with him. JaVale McGee is kind of hot and cold. His hot is really, really good, but his cold can be really, really bad. Another guy who probably doesn't get talked about enough, Dwayne Dedman, because he's actually a true stretch five as well.
Dwayne Dedman is the most interesting name of anyone you just mentioned to me. We were almost, I think you and me probably, if we were placing money bets on who would have been bought out by the Hawks, we almost probably would have guaranteed that he was either going to be traded or bought out Dedman this past year. And they held on to him, for whatever reason.
It kind of sucks for him because, dude, he played the Nets and he was like literally hitting threes and he was going like, call me. Like, he wanted to get traded. Like, It sucks when you're a veteran and you have to play in a tanking team or a young team and it's not going to make the playoffs. Like, I think for him, he's looking to go to a good team because he can shoot the three ball, he can protect the rim at a decent rate, and he can rebound decently.
Yeah, there's any single contending team that we've mentioned in the last 2 hours, depending on if this is the first pod you listen to or the second pod you listen to, this is a guy that contending teams need. And also a guy who's your fourth or fifth best starter and like a full on like team guy. Like, you don't have to worry about ego or anything else with Dwayne Dedman. That's a professional from his San Antonio Spur days to now. It's a guy who just goes out there and does his job.
Yeah, I like him. I think his landing spot will be similar to a lot of the other guys. He can end up in a lot of different locations. I think he'll probably be in that $5 to $8 million range as well. So we could go through to possible landing spots, but I think there's a lot to name. And then talking about the other guys, Thomas Bryant's he had a really good year for a young player that was unexpected. I would assume Washington's trying to retain him, but you never know with what Washington's doing. Robin Lopez is pretty much a really good backup big at this point, gives you some rim protection, can set good screens, offensively pretty limited, but can hit the elbow jumper here and there. And like we talked about, JaVale McGee, I think he just needs a strong veteran presence around him in terms of the rest of the team.
Yeah. Robin Lopez ends up in Golden State, right? I feel like
he fits the mold of the centers they need, but I don't know. I think Golden State might look for maybe a little bit more offensive options with the limited space they have money wise.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe they go after Brooke Lopez that we mentioned earlier. They go after Dwayne Dedman.
No, that'd be so cool if you had Splash Mountain with the Splash Brothers. Like that would just be just a crazy spacing on that team would be ridiculous when they're healthy.
That would be an OTG t-shirt. I think Thomas Bryant, if he wasn't restricted, I'd probably have a lot more interest in. But I just don't feel like after especially the steps forward he took this last year with Washington and how they really don't have much going for them with all the injuries and everything else, I don't think they want to get rid of Thomas Bryant. But he's definitely shown upside. And another guy the Lakers probably wish they held on to at this point.
He's just a really nice big to have. I think there was a game where he hit 15 straight shots or didn't miss a shot. He put up 30 points, had a couple career games last year. Some of it's playing on a bad team in Washington, but there is some skill because he has that true center size. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
So that's about it in terms of centers. You know, there's Boban out there who is a big guy. You know, he's not going to ever really play a lot of minutes because of his size. Wouldn't be surprised if he just ends up signing wherever Tobias Harris signed because they're best friends.
That'd be hilarious. And I actually hope it happens because Bobby and Toby belong together.
Exactly. So any other centers you want to mention before you get out of here?
No, I think we hit them all. A lot of the guys underneath Boban, these are all just backup centers, third string centers. None necessarily that move the needle that much.
Yeah. And as always, thank everybody for listening and watching on YouTube, whatever it may be. iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And we got all the other previews out. 4 out of the 5 positions, shooting guard still the drop. Be sure to check out next week because we'll be doing a couple more shows. And then on June 30th at 6 p.m., we'll be going live to deal with the latest rumors that'll be dropping because that's when the free agency period begins in terms of negotiations.
That's when the real fun starts.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, everybody.